So I don't want anybody to think that these are hard, fast rules. You know, we want to give some good guidelines that people can follow so that if they're focused on their strength gains, they know they can do at least this much and still reach that goal. But if they're more focused on aesthetics and looking better naked, you could bend the rules to go in this direction. And so here we go. Let's go.
The most energetic, fit, and stress-resilient people on the planet practice daily habits to keep their hormones balanced, their gut healthy, and their muscles and mind strong. Welcome to That Fitness Couple. We're Mike and Corey Beth Lepowski, founders of Pure Physique.
This podcast is designed to provide you with everything we've discovered and continue to discover about nutrition, training, and lifestyle. Today, we all live hectic lives.
So we've made it our mission to make your fitness time efficient and to build you up. Hope you share and enjoy. Let's dive into today's episode. Let's go. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the 8 rules for resistance training. And so there's really 2 primary factors that determine the effectiveness of your resistance training. There's how hard you train, and there's how much hard training you do. So today, Mike is going to present 8 rules that are going to help you design your workout and balance these factors. And at the end of the day, get the most out of your training.
All right. So before we jump in, just a couple of caveats here. You know, depending upon your training goals, some of these rules could definitely be bent in one direction or the other. So I don't want anybody to think that these are hard, fast rules. You know, we want to give some good guidelines that people can follow so that if they're focused on their strength gains, they know they can do at least this much and still reach that goal. But if they're more focused on aesthetics and looking better naked, you could bend the rules to go in this direction. And so here we go. All right, so I'm going to start off these first 3. I'm going to kind of group them together, but they will be separated. And that is, these are going to be related to how much in a workout. So my first one would be choose 6 to 12 exercises per workout. You know, you don't need to do one of these workouts that there's like 40 different exercises in there, and then you're looking around the gym trying to figure out what else you should do. I mean, you can keep it really basic with just 6 to 12 exercises, which then leads into number 2, which is performing only 1 to 2 sets per exercise. Mm-hmm. I think that many people in the gym, they believe that they're supposed to do this 3 sets of 10 for every exercise. And in fact, we just recently were speaking with a group of people about how that even came about. And just to give you guys a very quick history lesson, in the late 40s and early 1950s, there was a physiotherapist named Thomas DeLorme, and he was actually really into resistance training. In fact, that was the lead-in to him becoming a physiotherapist. He just really loved being in the gym, working out, and he felt that resistance exercise could be the key for people to help rehab from injury. So not just preventative, but rehab from. So at some point, he was approached by a sergeant who had some soldiers who were injured, and they asked him, hey, would you work with them to help try to rehabilitate them? So at that time, what he decided to do, and he published the research on this, was have these gentlemen start performing these resistance exercises. And it started with doing these simple leg extensions. They would attach a weight to their ankle and have them do these leg extensions. But the way he approached it was, because they were injured, he felt that it was a little bit too much to just throw them right into it with the heaviest weight they could handle. So what he decided to do instead was have them do their first set at 50% of what he knew they could do for 10 repetitions. Then he had them take a little rest, go back in, do another set with 75% of what they could handle for their 10 rep max, and then finally do the last set of 10 with the weight that he knew they would reach failure with at 10 repetitions. And so there was nothing, there was no scientific reason behind it other than why 10 reps. He even wrote in the research, arbitrary number. He just felt that at the pace he had them moving at, it was a good number to do, a nice round number, something to shoot for. And yet this has become bodybuilding lore. This is what most people today will go into the gym and believe they need to do, but it's not. So I know that was like a little bit of a tangent there, but
I think it's helpful for people though. You don't need to do as much as you think you do. You don't have to spend as much time there as you think you do. It's effective as long as you're lifting the right amount at the right time, which I know you're gonna get into next.
Yeah, well, and just that recommendation of 1 to 2 sets, if we compare that with the previous one of choosing 6 to 12 exercises, I mean, that means that you're only doing 6 to at most 24 sets in an entire workout.
Yeah.
And that's very different from what we were told in the, you know, the 80s or so, when, you know, Arnold was at his peak of popularity and these guys were doing 40, 60, you know, sets in a single workout.
Yeah.
Like it's excessive and it's not necessary. So number three would be sets should last 45 to 60 seconds. So now when we start piecing these things together, we start to understand, how can it be that we're so time efficient? How can we do a 30 minute or a 45 minute workout and actually truly get the most out of it? And it's because once we start combining these factors, you know, it's not about a certain number of sets. It's going to be about, what does that set look like?
Yeah.
How long is that single set? And if we were to walk into the gym right now and observe what's going on in the weight training area, you have people who are just pumping through their reps at hyper speed. You know, it kind of just looks like monkeys in a zoo, and it does. And so for that reason, you know, one set for most people in a gym setting is going to be 10 to 15 seconds worth of work, right? So instead of doing four or five of those types of sets, you can knock it out with one set that lasts 45 seconds to 60 seconds, yeah, thereabouts.
No, I love this. And I loved learning this methodology actually when I came, because that was me looking like the monkey in the zoo, moving at hyperspeed, not understanding. You know, it was like, I can lift 50 pounds or I can lift 100 pounds. Like, that's awesome. But recognizing how much of the force and acceleration I was using to help me do that, and how my muscle was not actually working. I was dependent upon gravity. You know, that was a big eye opener for me.
Yeah, which goes right into number four. And this, as well as number five, are more related to the performance of each set, the performance of your reps, as well as how hard you're actually performing your exercises. And so number four is, each rep should take about 5 to 6 seconds to complete. So that's not necessarily 5 to 6 seconds in each direction. That could be lifting the weight in 2 seconds and lowering it in 4 seconds. It could be lifting in 3, lowering in 3, lifting in 2, lowering in 3. You know, that is a relatively slow pace of movement. And the reason why we would want to perform our repetitions at that pace goes into exactly what you were just mentioning. It has to do with forces. All of us are familiar with a guy named Sir Isaac Newton, who developed an equation, and it was F equals M times A, which is force equals mass times acceleration. So even if we're taking a lighter weight, but we're moving that weight really fast, we're trying to accelerate it, that creates more force. And there's two types of forces that occur when it comes to resistance training. There's muscular force, which is good. We want to produce a high amount of muscular force. But then we have to think about the forces that are coming back on our joints and on our soft tissue.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to minimize. So based on the research, we know that any repetitions that are performed between 2 seconds in total, so that would be 1 second up, 1 second down, a little on the fast side, to upwards of 8 seconds, 4 seconds up, 4 seconds down, anything within that range is going to produce the same exact result with regards to strength development and muscularity. So for my money, I would rather keep everything on the slower end of the spectrum to just minimize that force on my body, because long term, what's the goal? It's to stay in the game, right?
I agree. And actually, we got a text message this morning from a 71-year-old outstanding woman that I love so much in our online program. And she's like, this is the greatest workout ever for me because of all these reasons that you're explaining. And then we have people in their teens and 20s that are like, this workout is great. You know, I love how you actually move slow. Like, I'm feeling it more in my muscle. But at the end of the day, we're also preserving their joints and ligaments in the long run, and which is why you can do it from a very young age to a very old age and still get a great result and be safe.
Absolutely. Well, number five is, your sets should end when you reach failure. And I use that word very carefully because people have a negative connotation with the word failure. Nobody wants to feel like a failure. But really what we're trying to point to is that the most important factor when it comes to your resistance training is your intensity. It's how hard you're working. Because we can list all of these things before, such as choose this number of exercises, do this number of sets, have the sets last this long. But if those sets are not carried out to the point at which you are providing the muscle the stimulus it needs to get stronger, to develop, then none of that matters. So really, we could have started this conversation, if we were ordering in of importance, we could start by saying that intensity is the most important factor. How hard oftentimes dictates how much. So with that being said, You know, I also want to just make a quick distinction between intensity and weight load, because many people might listen to this, and if they're the type who train on their own, they might feel like, well, I'm not very comfortable lifting very heavy. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself. You know, what if you know, I got stuck with the weight? Like, what do I do? So many people will avoid training heavy. Or there's those people on the opposite end of the spectrum who feel like it's all about training heavy, but just because you're training heavy doesn't necessarily mean you're training intensely. The reason why that I bring that up, though, is that all what we know from the research is that the weight load, as long as it's somewhere between 50% and 80% of what you're capable of lifting, as long as you are performing that exercise to the point of momentary muscular fatigue or to failure, you are stimulating the muscle fibers in the same exact way. You're basically providing the exact same stimulus regardless of which approach you want to take.
I love it.
One more thing that I want to bring up in this, and it's also, again, relevant to that conversation around intensity and weight load, was a study that I just came across yesterday. And it was called High versus Low Intensity Resistance Training on Bone Mineral Density and Content Acquisition by Postmenopausal Women with Osteopenia. And just to kind of lay out what they studied.
Can we go back to actually what that means?
Oh, sure.
I like first grade and third grade level. So basically they looked at women that had gone through menopause that also had osteopenia, which is the loss of bone mineral density or bone density. And so typically I think that happens like when women are in like their 50s, 60s, usually definitely by 70s, the doctor will say, hey, we're losing bone density. That's not a good thing. And so they looked at what high intensity resistance training versus low intensity resistance training, which I know you'll explain, did for these postmenopausal women.
So the intensity is usually measured in two ways. It's going to be your momentary effort, which is usually how we like to define it, right? When you're at that end of the set, how much effort are you putting forth to try to perform that next repetition? And if we're trying to measure intensity that way, it's very difficult to do because it's either zero or 100%. It's either you're not doing anything, not putting forth any effort, or it's 100%. You're trying as hard as you can, but you can no longer move the resistance. The other way it's typically looked at in many studies is they'll say high intensity also means high load. So they're using a heavier weight versus a lower weight, but maybe performing the same number of repetitions. So as I said, if as long as you are working in that 50 to 80% range, you know, that's the load that you're utilizing. The most important factor does become, are you pushing to that point of momentary muscular fatigue? Are your muscles, and also as a consequence, your bones, under enough stress to stimulate this growth in your bone density? And what the study basically pointed to was you need to be training at a high intensity. So you need to be using at least a moderate weight and pushing hard versus using a light or moderate weight and stopping yourself well short.
Which is why so many people reverse their bone density loss with our program. That's not medical advice, by the way.
No, and that's with any resistance training program.
Yes. So. Hey, we hope you're enjoying our show and finding it valuable. If you could do us a quick favor, it would mean the world to us. Please take a moment to rate and review our podcast on your favorite platform. Your reviews help us reach more people and share our message. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Thanks for being awesome and supporting us. Now, back to the show.
Focus on progression. This would be number six. And what we mean here is focusing on making an effort to increase the weight loads that you're using from workout to workout. Focusing on maybe using the same weight load, but increasing the number of repetitions you do or how long you can use that resistance for if you're tracking time. But there's also a number of different factors that we could look at in terms of this progression and overload. Another one that's not often talked about would be performing the same density of exercise, right, in less time or having higher density exercise. What I mean by that is, if you have your 12 exercises laid out and you know you're going to do a circuit with them and you're just going to do one set to fatigue, how fast can you get through that workout compared to the previous time you did that workout? And can you match or better what you did last time in terms of your weight loads or your repetitions or time under tension?
Well, let me ask you this then. Knowing that number three was that sets should last 45 to 60 seconds, really what you're saying to speed up the exercise is not to speed up the amount of time each set takes, but rather to minimize the amount of rest in between each exercise.
Yeah, great, great point. And exactly. We're just trying to move more quickly from one exercise to the next. Let's cut down rest time. And for many people, what that's going to do is it's going to add this cardiovascular element to their workout that's going to make it feel as if they are sprinting nonstop for however long that takes. I mean, that could literally be a 15-minute workout, 12 exercises, you know, done for approximately 60 seconds with very little rest in between. I mean, you're knocking that out in less than 15 minutes.
Yeah, less than 10 seconds of rest in between. I'll be honest, when I do a workout on my own and maybe, you know, I walk to the next piece of equipment to do the next set of exercises versus when I'm either following our online app or being in one of our physical sessions, like it's totally different story. It's totally different animal because it's like, there's no, like we need to get this done in 30 minutes, let's go. Whereas on my own, 35, maybe it's 40. But yeah, it definitely does make a difference.
Well, I always think back to the story of, you know, when we were first kind of dating, but I was still training you and you had called me because you were late for your appointment. You had I think it was a 3 o'clock or a 3:30 training session and you called. It was literally, yeah, I think it was like a 3:30 session. It was 3:35. You're like, I'm never going to make it on time. I'm still 10 minutes away.
And so, I get caught up doing my bulletin board at school. I mean, those are important, you know?
Not as important as your workout.
Agree. But anyway. Agree now, but I didn't know that back then.
And I said to you, I said, just show up anyway. And in 15 minutes—
He crushed me.
I
crushed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, I could think back to that maybe being the most productive workout that you've ever done.
Yeah.
Because we were short on time. And that's just another example, though, of, you know, how you can intensify the workout that you're doing. That it's not about how much time you're putting in. It's like, can you put in a smaller amount of time but get the same amount of work done? Like, that would be a really good challenge for a lot of people.
Number seven
is train multiple muscle groups in a workout. So this and number eight are going to tie into the how often. When we're talking about resistance training, it's typically, you know, looked at in terms of your intensity, your volume, and your frequency. So again, how hard, how much in the workout, and how often are you doing that? And it really is a balance between those three factors, which determines your results. If you balance it properly, you get to see natural progression over time. You get to see the development and you get to reap all the benefits that resistance training has. Done incorrectly, we actually can either stall out or completely start to regress,
yeah.
You know, in worst case scenario. But I like this idea of training multiple muscle groups in a workout. And for this reason, number one, time efficiency. So if you're that person who's fixated mainly on just building strength or having improvements in your general function, you don't need to be in the gym 4 days a week. You could literally be in the gym one or two times a week and build all the strength and improve all the functionality that you're looking for and reap every benefit there is possible from resistance training. So to do that though, and to do an appropriate amount, it would probably be best in that instance to perform either full body workouts twice a week, or if somebody's training three times a week, maybe they do, you know, pushing exercises one day, pulling exercises on another day, and then just rotate through that sequence 3 days a week so that, you know, each muscle group really gets about 3 to 4 days to recover.
It's funny, like some people are going to listen to this and be like, this is amazing. I'm going to go redesign my workout plan. And some people are going to be like, I have no idea still how to do this, but it's great information. And so I'm just going to shamelessly plug our online app. All of this is already built in and the workout shows you what to do from start to finish, when to start, when to stop, when to lift, when to rest, when to go to the next exercise. And again, for me coming from a teaching background, it was a game changer to have that instruction. So I'm just going to shamelessly plug that in there.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I think the reason why we need to, you know, focus on again, splitting up our workouts the proper ways, because ultimately, you know, when we're trying to get these results, there's two considerations. There is local stress, which is the stress that you're placing on your muscles, and then there's systemic stress, the overall stress that you're placing on your body. And that's why some people are like, is this really important? Like, shouldn't I just, you know, should I do full body workouts? Should I do a split? You know, what about that bro in the gym who tells me I should be, you know, training a muscle group every single day of the week? We have to take these two things into consideration, that if we're doing all of the things that we mentioned previously properly, if we're training to momentary muscular fatigue, if we're doing, you know, the right amount of exercises, performing them in a proper, safe way, then what we're doing is providing the right stress to the muscles themselves, which are going to help them to develop. However, when we look at the totality of what we're doing, right, when we start putting all this stuff together, we're talking about a lot of stress that we're placing on our body systemically. So even that guy in the gym who's like, I need to do my training split, different muscle group every day, you could be training, you know, on your chest day. And because of what's called the indirect effect or the ripple effect, you're still getting stimulation to other areas of your body. Like, you don't turn these things off. It's not like a light switch. So you can't shut off a section of your body. So for the point of efficiency, I mean, listen, when you go to sleep at night, do you just rest your right eye?
Yeah.
No, is like just your left toe going to rest and your right toe is moving?
And it has the reverse benefit for someone that's like, I can't train my right arm due to shoulder issue. Like, I can't go to the gym. And I'm like, no, you still have a left arm and left shoulder. You still have two legs. You still have abs. Like, there's still all these other things. And there's been proven benefit to the right arm and the right shoulder, even without directly working it out. So it can definitely play to your benefit too.
Yeah, they call it bilateral transfer. You work one side and it actually provides stimulation to the other side enough so that people who are injured don't lose as much muscle and they don't lose as much strength. You know, some is going to get lost because you're totally not doing anything for it.
So I married you. Bilateral transfer.
Yeah.
Your like habits that. Become my habits.
There we go. So anyway, the last one that I have here is do 1 to 4 workouts per week. So again, going back to that, how often should I be training? Well, number one, you don't have to be dogmatic about this. You don't have to choose a certain number and stick to that number all the time. What we know is that you can still get tremendous benefit from just 1 workout a week, okay? So that's the minimum. We don't typically recommend more than 4 workouts in a week just because of all that systemic stress that's going to build up if you are constantly working out. And that's on top of all the other stresses that you're dealing with every single day. So exercise, even though, again, it makes us feel great, it's still a negative stressor on our body. And we have to take that into consideration for sure.
Well, I think a lot of people compartmentalize. They're like, my workout stress is different than chronic stress at work. And I'm like, no, it's one body unit. It all like goes together and compounds together. So it's like when I'm sick, I'm not going to push myself to go to the gym and work out. I'll walk. I'll go for a walk. I'll move my body in that way. But knowing that my body needs to heal, it's not a primary importance to me to go to the gym and get a workout in.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hormetic stress. So that means that it's a stress that can produce a very positive result, but that's only going to happen if things are balanced properly. So if we are over-exercising, if we're exercising too frequently and we're not giving our body enough time to recover from that stress and to reap the full benefit, then we're not going to get the full benefit. And I just like this idea of knowing that, hey, I could do a minimum of 1 workout a week. I'll do a maximum of 4. And I don't have to be dogmatic about it. If there's a period of time because I'm working towards a particular goal, if your goal is based more around aesthetic, you know, that higher volume, higher frequency may benefit you. So doing your 3 workouts a week might be better than doing 1 or 2. 4 could be beneficial for a period of time, but then you may also want to cut back so that you're not overstressing your body. So just keep these things in mind that, you know, all of this exists along a spectrum. And that's why we just never like saying these are hard, fast rules and this is exactly how it should be done. It could change with the seasons. You know, as you're changing with the seasons, as you have different goals at different periods of time, it may change your approach. But before we close this out, I just want to throw an honorable mention out there. Okay, this is not a rule, but it's one that probably some people might even be thinking about right now. Like, well, what about variety in my workouts? What about varying my workouts? What about muscle confusion, as they used to say in P90X, right? And so I throw this in as the honorable mention because to me, variation is important. It does play an important role. However, variation is not necessary for producing results.
It's a whole brand built upon that. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it is not necessary at all. You could literally do the same 4 or 5 exercises 2 or 3 times a week for the rest of your life, and you would still produce strength. You would produce muscularity. You would improve your function. You would improve your conditioning. All of those things would happen. However, I think variety becomes necessary more for maintaining interest in this activity of resistance training. You know, people get bored quickly and they want to keep things fresh. So I totally understand that, which is one of the reasons why we change our workouts like every 2 weeks,
yeah,
or change over to a different training style. But the other aspect of it that does hold true is that variation can help you to break stagnation. So if you do find yourself stagnating and what you've been doing is no longer working, well, there is a novelty factor, and this has also been shown, you know, evidence-based, that just changing the stimulus to some degree, whether that's changing your rep ranges, changing your exercises, working out at a different gym, executing the same exercises differently, that novelty factor can help stimulate or help us break through some of that stagnation. And then it can also serve as a form of overload. So we talked earlier about that progression, right? We want to progress in either weight or reps. Well, I think this can also be used in the similar fashion, that if we're changing our workouts every so often, you're providing this different stimulus, maybe you're still using the same exercises, it gives something new and different for your body to have to get reacclimated to or adapt to.
I love it. You did a great job. 8 rules for resistance training. We hope that that helps answer some questions for you, whether you're designing your own program, maybe you're a personal trainer that's doing it for your clients. I mean, it's a different way of looking at it. And I think that's the biggest thing I appreciated walking into your studio, coming for me, total cardio queen, like on the elliptical. I'm like, wow, there's a whole other world here. And I think for people that maybe are short on time, this is an amazing construct to design your workout program after to get maximum results in minimum time. Thanks for tuning in. If you're a busy working parent like us, you understand the daily challenges. Our mission is to make exercise and nutrition simple and exciting, helping you and your family thrive even on the busiest days. We've got a fantastic free 5-day online challenge that's tailor-made for super busy people like you.
If you like a high-vibe workout environment with professional coaching, swing by one of our franchise studios for a free intro workout.
Check the show notes for details or head on over to purephysique.com when you have a moment. We know those moments are rare.
Until next time, lift weights, eat meat, and never forget, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
I'm not laughing. That's on you.
I hate when this happens.
This happens too.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Leave that in.
Do not leave that in, Kathy.